Welcome in. Welcome in. A Merry Christmas edition of Two Tickets to Fantasy. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Tickets to Fantasy. And you can also email us, twotickets2fantasy@gmail.com. As always, for Joe Iarachi, I'm Jeff Mesha. Joe, Merry Christmas, brother.
Hey, Merry Christmas, man. Look at this. This is not to start off sad, but the first Christmas with no Jeffrey Allen Mesha in the New England 413-860. So that's a little melancholy this Christmas season.
Yeah, it's been a little bit different. You know, the weather's been warmer, which has been odd. There isn't snow on the ground, what I'm used to, and it's just something to get used to. So we got a lot to get into today. This is an important, obviously the most important week for any of the regular weekly leagues. It's pretty much everybody's Super Bowl this week. So we got to kind of stay on point and go through a lot of what's coming up for this week. Want to get into a little bit from last week, what we were looking at from a game betting perspective and also how we did fantasy wise. There's a couple things I want to get into before we talk about all that. And actually, I was going to get into something else first, but let's start with this. This is an interesting kind of twist that I saw a couple of days ago. I think it was Bleacher Report reported that there's a linebacker on the Titans named Will Compton, who was tweeted about and put on the injury report for his bad haircut. Now, that is... We had the throat guy last week, yeah. And now we have the bad haircut guy this week being on the injury report. That's one of the funniest things I've seen in the league this year. So
I'd much rather be the bad haircut guy than the broken throat guy. But at the same time, you know, thinking back to some of the coaches and some of the things we've seen in the past fashion-wise in the NFL, for this specific bad haircut to make the injury report, it must have been pretty rough.
Yeah, you know, and we, especially during all this COVID time, I've been attempting to cut my own hair. I'm sure a lot of us have had some bad haircuts over the last 9 months or so. But this one really takes the cake when they put this guy on the injury report. So I found that fairly amusing.
Oh, my God. My wife did the first COVID hair buzz in probably April, back in April. And I looked like a condom who was attempting an Olympic dive. She cut it too short and it was just it was bad for business. But you know, the other cool story coming out of the NFL week 15 was the Bills playing last Saturday night and just crushing Denver in Denver, and that offense, Allen and Diggs, and just looking like what Buffalo's been waiting about 25 to 30 years to see again. They haven't seen it since Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed. But the cool thing, right, and you have Buffalo. We talk about these big markets in every sport. We're just consumed and obsessed with the stars on these big market teams, most specifically in the NBA, but you have it in the NFL also. But then you have these diamonds in the rough, Green Bay, Buffalo, Kansas City, great sports cities. That Buffalo, you know, Buffalo wins in Denver last week. Believe it clinches a playoff spot for them. They get back to Buffalo, you know, on their private charter around 3 a.m. And they had, and we tweeted it out last week, I think they had around 10,000 screaming, manic Buffalo Bill diehard fans in that airport parking lot, whatever, right on the runway. Waiting for those guys to get off the plane. I think it was Dawson Knox and a couple other Bills were videotaping them getting off the plane. And as they were walking, they were just saying, this is sick. This is why this sports city, nobody knows, but this is a phenomenal sports city. And it was a little bit hair raising to see that. I mean, it's week 15. So it's just a shame that they don't get to put 80,000 people in that stadium for, you know, whenever it is they host their first playoff game this year.
That's true. And I'm sure there are a lot of people listening who haven't been to Buffalo. I've had the pleasure of visiting Buffalo on a couple of occasions. What I will say, Buffalo is, I mean, it's a big enough city where you know you're in a city. But what's interesting is it's kind of isolated a little bit out there. And they have more of a rabid fan base than maybe anybody that I've seen. And it's a neat town to be in. They're very passionate about their sports. We love our Buffalo Bills fans out there, and I love to see them all coming out that time of night.
It's been great. It's been great sports. If you think about since COVID and you think about the NBA bubble and then the NHL had a bubble too, and, you know, Major League Baseball got through their season, the NFL now, and it's actually been high quality sports. I mean, we have seen some epic and instant classic games and finishes in all of the sports since they came back. And obviously in most cases, there's no fans. The NFL's dabbling with a few thousand fans here and there, given, you know, depending on where the stadium is there. And they've done a good job, I think, of actually making you forget in some cases that there's no fans, but there's a game or a storyline that comes up, whether it's Buffalo and football and the fact that they're going to host a playoff game and they're not going to be able to have their fans there, or, you know, NBA opening night the other night, Clippers, Lakers get their championship rings. You have the fact that Kobe passed. That would have been an electric atmosphere if there were fans in that. So every once in a while, right, there's one of these games come up that have a storyline to it where it's like, man, if there was a full house of fans here, it would be epic. So I'm looking forward to getting back to that at some point next year, hopefully.
Absolutely. On the opposite spectrum of that, as my good friend Mike Babchick likes to say as a Jets fan, when you're a Jet all the way, and they can't even tank for Trevor Lawrence correctly, these idiots. And there's the one game all year I thought it was going to be an absolute blowout, and they should have let it be a blowout. Do cover zero all day, like what happened against the Raiders, and let Goff throw it all over them. They beat the Rams. What is going on here? They lose their shot at Lawrence. This boggles my mind. But
I'm half laughing and half crying, because I mean, last week, you know, my take it or leave it was the Rams all the way. Whatever you could get with the Rams fantasy wise, home against the Jets. I mean, nobody could fathom what happened in that game. And the first half was just, I wanted to throw myself off a cliff. Rams come back third, fourth quarter. And actually, the Rams, Akers scores a touchdown in the fourth quarter that would have given the Rams the lead. They made the comeback all the way, but it was negated, called back for holding, and then they could never get back there, and it was just another one of those disgusting upsets. The best thing, though, that I've seen on this Jet thing, because obviously, and you know, you give the players credit for trying when there really is no reason for them to put any effort in at this point on that team. That being said, obviously, they're going to potentially lose Trevor Lawrence. Joe Namath, who, I mean, is the poster child of the Jets. He is the Jets. Anything good the Jets have ever stood for, it's really Joe Namath. He couldn't even fake being upset about them winning this week. They interviewed him on Monday, Tuesday, and he was like, ugh, great to see them win, but oh, man. And now all of a sudden, coming out of New York, we're supposed to be sold on some BYU quarterback being an ample number two pick. But you know they're half-kicking themselves over there and now hoping that Jacksonville pulls out a win one of these last 2 weeks.
Well, and I brought up Mike Babchick a couple times. For those of you who don't know, Mike is co-host of the show Morning Men on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio, Channel 82, on from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I bring him up just because I listen to the show a lot. And he was talking about how his father called him when it looked like they were about to beat the Raiders. And then, as we all know, the Raiders got that last-second touchdown, and they were cheering the fact against their team that the Raiders scored so that they could keep this losing streak going and have a chance at Trevor Lawrence. I can't imagine – I haven't talked to Mike recently, but I can't imagine how he and his father are feeling after seeing this unprecedented win that really just puts them down the tubes even more.
So, yeah, and it was – one of two big upsets last week. You had the Bengals do it to the Steelers. But, you know, for some reason with the Bengals, and I don't even know what the Bengal record is. I know they have a couple wins. That one, everybody, I think if you're a Bengals fan, you're just happy about. You finally beat the Steelers for the first time in how long. That was – I don't know what's going on with the Steelers. 4 weeks ago, we were ranking their three wideouts, all as fantasy relevant, and they were. And now, pretty much on that team, other than Deontay Johnson, they don't have a player you can touch fantasy-wise.
Yeah. You know, although it definitely is unprecedented, to me, this is – of the upsets, it's not as surprising. I think the Steelers have become incredibly predictable in their offense because they have zero running game, although – our gentleman, our friend there, Mr. Snell, stepped up this past week. So he's looking at like a decent option. We'll get into that later. But it didn't surprise me to see the Steelers lose again. And it wouldn't surprise me to see them not even win their division. So this should be interesting as we head down the stretch here.
One more thing, too, on that, just before we dig in. Like, a month ago, the Steelers were still undefeated, and Baltimore was struggling. Baltimore was struggling scoring. They just didn't look good. The running game wasn't great. Lamar was horrible throwing. Now, a month later, you've got Baltimore all of a sudden looking really good. Lamar was electric a couple games in a row. And now you've got Pittsburgh, who you're doubting whether they can score. They've had so many injuries on defense now. We heard a lot of Pittsburgh fans on sports talk radio this week thinking that they're one and done in the playoffs all of a sudden. So a lot can change in a month, whether it's fantasy related or just, you know, standings wise and wins losses.
Very interesting. And talking about fantasy, we had a pretty good week last week. A couple guys I want to get into. One that I missed on, the reason I didn't really bring him up too hard and press it too much because I thought it might be too much of a trendy pick coming off the New Orleans upset was Jalen Hurts, who had, you know, over 100 yards rushing in the New Orleans game. And, heading into against Arizona coming off a good game. And they're playing the Eagles at home. Their defense looked strong the week before. And I'll tell you, Hurts puts up 38 fantasy points. Yeah. And I stayed away from only because I thought, well, you know, it could be a fluke. People are seeing this guy now, for the first time in the NFL. I don't want to be kind of that guy who just jumps on the bandwagon and goes kind of with the easy trendy pick. But, man, I missed the boat on that one, Joe.
Yeah, and I wasn't ready to play him yet. And, we've talked about learning from our mistakes, and we will get to that later. But I'm going to reap the Jalen Hurts benefits this week of a matchup against Dallas. But the Eagles dead in the water. Wentz is so weird. I don't even know how you make heads or tails of Carson Wentz now. The Eagles look dead between injuries and no quarterback, bad quarterback play. And now Hurts all of a sudden, they didn't get the win last week. But he's been electric 2 weeks in a row without a 2.5 weeks from that first game where he went in. He's been absolutely electric. The other thing I thought was interesting, too, about Hurts' performance last week against Arizona, they sacked him 6 times. So there was a lot of pressure on him. It's not like he was playing the Detroit defense or anything. Arizona put a lot of pressure on him. It was a close game. They needed big plays from him to stay in it. That was big-time football that he played last week. And now, if anything, from a trendy pick perspective, it's probably this week where he becomes very trendy. He's in the 1 p.m. main slate on Sunday. And again, they're at Dallas, who, had a nice win last week too, but they gave up a lot of points to San Francisco. So yeah, all of a sudden now Jalen Hurts is on, he's on the radar. We did a few weeks ago after the fantasy regular season ended, we talked about keepers at each position and who was looking like a slam dunk keeper. And now, Hurts wasn't on that list a month ago, but you got to put him on in there now. There's no doubt about it.
100%. And one of the things, not to get away from the fantasy thing, but one of the things that I think helped him a lot is that 1 year in Oklahoma that had a different type of offense and up-tempo. He can kind of showcase his offensive prowess, and I think that really helped him coming into the NFL this year. So I high expectations for the guy. He looks good so far, though.
The other thing too, and it's just making me like him more as I'm looking at him more now. I mean, again, 338 passing yards against Arizona, and he had 63 rushing and a touchdown, which is great, but 338 passing yards against a defense who had 6 sacks, a good front four, and Patrick Peterson. And we've talked about that Patrick Peterson kind of X factor before, because you see Metcalf's numbers go down when they play Arizona and some of these other number ones and some of these other quarterbacks. But again, just more proof that it was just as much passing as it was with his legs. One funny thing with the quarterbacks last week, there were 4 quarterbacks in the main slate who scored over 30, and they were all guys who scored almost half of their points or more with their legs. It was Hurts, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, and Tannehill, who actually had 2 rushing touchdowns. So we've talked about, I think a lot of people, and I did this a couple of years ago, when you talk about running backs in a PPR and you have these running backs like Barkley and you have these running backs like, you know, Le'Veon Bell when he's the golden goat on his team, who it's receptions as much as it is running, versus an Ezekiel Elliott who's more rushing, and a Marshawn Lynch who's more rushing. You know, you start to air to these PPR guys. Well, now you're getting to the point, and I was talking to our buddy Brady the other day too about this. I'm not really sold. And I'm going to consider Aaron Rodgers a quarterback who can rush and make things happen. So I'm not excluding Aaron Rodgers. He can score with his legs, and he still does here and there. But, you know, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Kirk Cousins, you're going to have a hard time selling me on starting those guys fantasy-wise. I don't care how good their matchup is, Matt Ryan, because you've just got too many guys where it doesn't even – Lamar Jackson, as long as you get 100 yards and one touchdown from him passing-wise, you're going to get what you need from him. Kyler, you don't have to worry about that because he's throwing for 300 yards a game. Tannehill, that's a funny one because when he is rushing, it knocks him into that number one, you know, group of quarterbacks because he's always throwing now, and Hurts again too. So, you know, again, I would be, and then Tua, like Tua's had a couple games over 20. That's mostly because of his legs for the most part also. So I'm just 2020, 2021 next season, as we evolve into it, you know, it's going to be, you're going to start behind the eight ball if you've got a pocket passer. You know, Mahomes, again, I would concede Mahomes is scoring points with his legs too. I, you know, not leaving him out, but these pure pocket passers, it's not their time fantasy wise.
No, you know, the old guard of Brady, Breeze, Rivers, those guys, they're on their way out and have been pretty much out already fantasy wise. But in any case, another one that kind of stuck out a little bit. Now I'm higher on Derek Carr than most. I get a lot of people just simply, you might feel this way. I think Derek Carr actually is a pretty good quarterback. He showed in that 1 year that he almost won the MVP where he got injured. Raiders were the number one seed heading into the playoffs. I still think Derek Carr has some left in the tank. So I didn't like to see him get hurt. But what I thought was interesting is Mariota comes in, a guy who we just – once Tannehill took over on Tennessee, you knew it was the end of the road for Mariota over there. And I actually like to see what he has going forward. If this was just kind of like we haven't seen him in a long time, he was fired up and put up some kind of good points, some good stats, and we'll see what happens going forward. But if you're looking at Carr, who's double the salary of Mariota, and you're getting similar output, if not better, from Mariota, I don't know what Carr has left for him there.
Yeah, that would have been another one of those highlight of the week stories if the Raiders actually pulled that one out the other night. Mariota was running all over the place. He was throwing. It was interesting to see. And there's going to be some jobs open next year. You know, I'm sure if you're Mariota, you're thinking, man, if I can get one more start this year to just kind of throw on the resume and kind of be that audition for a starting job next year. But it was cool to see him. It was cool to see him do that. It was interesting. You know, we talked about the running quarterbacks doing well last week, but stark contrast between running backs and wideouts. And real quick on last week, fantasy wise.
Yeah.
You had eight running backs over 20. And again, just the main 1 PM slate of games. And, you know, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, David Montgomery, all guys we've been talking about a lot. So some of the heavy hitters were really putting those points up. And then we had some cheapos too, obviously. Pollard came up big once that Ezekiel Elliott inactive came out on Sunday morning. That was a surprise to everybody. McKissick had a big day. Ahmed, Swift, Fournette. I mean, it was running the gamut of expensive and cheap guys. But, you know, I think if you look at most lineups, most of them had Cook or Henry there as the anchor, or Montgomery at least. But then when you look at wideouts last week, Jeff, this is bizarre. Four only had 20 or over from that main slate. And the only one that's even close to a number one was Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. You had Zach Pascal, you had Marvin Jones, and then you had a bunch of guys after that in the high teens. So last week felt like the winning combo had a rushing quarterback, one of the heavy running back hitters with the right cheap play, but there were a lot of them last week, so your margin of error was a little larger than normal. And then wideout was where you were saving your money last week, which I found really interesting. This week feels a little trickier because there's some guys coming back from injuries. So when I was looking at, you know, we were looking at a Saturday lineup, a Sunday lineup, it wasn't looking as easy to get that cheap starting running back in that you were going to feel really good about. The cheap ones that are doing well, their salaries have gone up, and a couple of them are going to lose the starting job again this week, you know, to whoever had it before their respective injury.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we can definitely get into – now this week is going to be an interesting one, obviously, not only because of it being the Super Bowl mostly, just but what I'm looking at as far as matchups are concerned – at the different positions, you know, I think there could be a good amount of value at running back this week, but we can definitely get into that. What I find exciting and interesting is, you know, we have football today. We're here on Christmas recording this. We got three games tomorrow, and then we get the main slate on Sunday. So it's definitely a football-packed, exciting weekend. You got Vikings at Saints later today. Tomorrow you got Bucs at Lions, Niners at Cardinals, and Dolphins at Raiders. And we'll see if the Dolphins can still keep that streak going. They've been playing some good football, but these are some good games coming up, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, let's do it, right? If you've made your league Super Bowl, congrats. You know, full transparency, lost in my semis last week. The funny part is I was going against pretty much everybody we wanted to take on daily last week from Montgomery to Pollard and a few others. But, you know, it was interesting. I thought it would be an interesting way to kind of bring it circle, you know, full circle from the beginning of the fantasy season. You know, we've been doing this since week one, and everybody's been playing fantasy since week one, whether it's daily or obviously in your league. So I'm looking at the two Super Bowl teams in my league, and just to kind of get a feel for the players that are there that help these teams kind of all year get there. And it's kind of interesting. Like, the quarterbacks are Deshaun Watson versus Russell Wilson. So, you know, again, two guys who did it with their legs as well as with their arms this year. Wilson was awesome the first half of the year. He's been rough the second half, the last few weeks. Yeah. Seattle's been a little weird. Seattle and the Rams this week. Like, 6 weeks ago, everybody would be all over everyone fantasy-wise in that game. Russell Wilson, you'd have the wideouts for Seattle. You'd have the two big wideouts for the Rams. You'd have a run. But now I don't really know what to do with that game fantasy-wise. The Rams' defense is very good, but then they laid an egg last week. You know, Seattle's won a tough game against Washington last week, but their offense did not look very good. Their offense hasn't looked great. And I mean, you know, the Jets, they beat them 40-3. We know that doesn't count. So you're really looking at week 11 since Russell Wilson's been right, even with having Chris Carson back. LA, they've got a running back issue. Cam Akers, who was just coming on, he's now out. So they've got to go back to Darrell Henderson and, you know, another good friend of the show, Malcolm Brown. You know, if you're a betting man, I would bet on him being mentioned one more time before the end of this episode. But, you know, that's going to be an interesting game in general. But, like, the rest of these rosters, you got Jefferson and Diggs for wideouts on one end against Woods and Lockett, which, again, is really funny because it feeds right back into that matchup, that Rams-Seattle matchup. But you got Derrick Henry, Jacobs, Kelsey, and Waller are the tight ends. So, you know, that makes me feel like I'm eating a little crow right now, because what is one of the first things I always talk about with fantasy drafts or even with daily DFS, don't waste your money on tight end. You want to get Kelsey in there. We understand that. Other than that, play tight end cheap. And I say the same thing with drafts. I don't waste an early pick on Rob Gronkowski in the Patriots days or Kelsey and Kittle now. You know, Kelsey might change with the years he's having now, but, you know, in the past, it's never been worth it to me. But now I'm looking at a Super Bowl with Kelsey and Waller. Kelsey, obviously, the number one ranked tight end, yet Kittle, number two, got hurt. Waller came on last year, so he was certainly a viable in first half of, you know, first top 5, 7, 8 tight ends taken too. So this kind of proves me wrong there, that the you know, making the investment in tight end with these in this league here helped these guys get to the Super Bowl. So I find that a little interesting. David Montgomery's on a roster, and, you know, Montgomery, and now I'm flipping back to DFS, because I'm looking at Montgomery. He's 7,800 this week against Jacksonville. And this is insane. His last 4 weeks are 28, 23, 25, and 22 as far as what he's scored. So, you know, and the funny part about that is, let's take the 4 weeks before that, Mish. 3.7, 11.5, 9.4, 11.7. So this guy just dropped out of the sky into a number one running back all of a sudden, because he's been inadequate as a starter for a year and a half. So I don't know what the rhyme or reason is, but what I do find funny is he's still only 7,800, and especially this week at Jacksonville, the 30th ranked, opposing rushing defense. So I'm not sure what DraftKings and FanDuel is still waiting for, or if they're saying, hey, you know, we're going to give you this kind of under the radar number one at a number two price. But from a daily perspective, obviously in a league you're playing him, but from a daily perspective, it still makes sense to ride Montgomery because you're still not paying what you have to pay for Henry and Cook, and you're getting the same production right now.
Yeah, 100%. And you brought, you bring up going back to the start of the season, which made me think of there's always that draft grade that comes out like the day after we have the draft, and CBS. You know, everybody, oh man, I got an A on my draft grade and blah blah blah. And it always seems like the guy who got the D on the draft grade are always the guys that end up in the Super Bowl, So it's interesting.
Yeah. And I'm looking at these rosters because we talk about what the key that waivers plays in these leagues throughout the year. And one of these guys has Gallman, he's got Pollard. And that goes back. And then I'm looking at like the third place game, which involves my team. So now you got the second best two teams. And then, that game, you've got two teams who have Dobbins and Akers and Pittman and Ronald Jones, and Antonio Brown and Claypool. And, when I hear those names fantasy wise, that's telling me a completely different story than the Super Bowl matchup. The Super Bowl matchup is showing me two teams that drafted really strong and for the most part were able to avoid injury and ride those strong teams to a Super Bowl. And then I'm looking at my third place game and it's littered with guys who didn't start the season as a fantasy starter, and whether it was they're coming on as a rookie or they inherited a job because of injury. Again, Dobbins, Akers, Pittman, all guys, Higgins is a wideout in Cleveland, all guys who sometime throughout the season made their marks known and were acquired probably through the waiver wire. So, two different routes to getting to fantasy glory from a league perspective, but they can both get there. But and the bottom line is, what does this mean? It means engagement. It means you got to do your draft prep, and it means that the waiver wire is just so crucial. And I was talking to somebody who they showed me their FanDuel lineup for 1 p.m. last week, and it was really good. But they were lacking at second running back. And, I think they had like a 140, 150 score. It put them in the money, but they didn't win anything. And the guy said, I didn't see the Zeke Elliott injury, report until after 1 o'clock. So I wasn't able to potentially put Pollard in, who then had two touchdowns and like almost 30 fantasy points. And those guys don't work every week, right? Too, Jeff, we've talked about this. Mike Davis has had some good weeks and some bad weeks. Those Miami running backs, the same thing. Yep. And however, you got to give yourself a chance. And what that means is, especially on the DFS, you got to take that peak at 12:45. Even if you've been watching 11 to 12:30 and you think you have a beat on what's going on, you got to take that last look right before those 1 p.m. games kick off to make sure you understand exactly what's going on around the fantasy landscape from an injury perspective for that day.
No doubt. No doubt. And that kind of transitions us a little bit into some of the, obviously you get the Super Bowl this week, but we're still working on some of the daily lineups this week and next week. And if we're looking at the quarterback position to start, I mean, you obviously had the usual suspects, Mahomes, Lamar, Deshaun Watson, who has put up some decent points. But so to me, there's really nobody value-wise that I would even bother going after. Maybe the lowest for me I would shoot for is maybe Baker Mayfield at the Jets for 7,600. Or Jalen Hurts at 8,200. He's getting a little bit more expensive, but I would not go too low on quarterback this week. What do you think?
Yeah, and let's start with this Sunday slate as you bring it up, and then we'll backtrack real quick and throw out a lineup for Saturday too. I kind of agreed with you. For me, there's two quarterbacks. Mahomes is 9,400. Kansas City's going to score 40 points on Atlanta, if not more. So it's a little bit hard to ignore Mahomes, but I'm going to get on the Jalen Hurts train this week, 8,200 at Dallas. There's some other good matchups though, Lamar Jackson. So really it's almost like you got to look at the chalk and pick the right one this week, because Lamar Jackson's 8,800 home against the Giants. Lamar's been on fire. Watson's home against Cincy this week, 8,500. You got Hurts at 82. You know, I'm not – Mayfield 76. And I will say, Jeff, I was – and he's not on the Sunday slate. I am thinking about Tua when I'm looking at this now, because he's been super crafty these last few weeks and figuring out ways to get in the end zone and get some passing touchdowns. But for that Sunday main slate, I think I'm going to go between Jalen, and I'm going to stick with Lamar too, because he's just on fire. I think that Giant game against Seattle, I think, was a flash in the pan. If you've watched them the last couple of weeks, Baltimore has momentum. They need to keep winning. So I wouldn't argue with Jackson or Jalen Hurts for that Sunday main slate for quarterback, but I wouldn't get too crafty. To your point, I wouldn't get too crafty with quarterback. Take a guy who runs. These guys we're talking about are almost clinched to get you a rushing touchdown in addition to whatever they throw for. So don't be stupid. Don't overthink it. Play the right QB. There's a lot out there this week. You know, at running back, when you talk about Sunday, we were looking at we've talked about David Montgomery and just, you know, what I'm talking there. And again, the slates are a little tricky. So Montgomery is actually the third most expensive running back on the 1 p.m. Sunday slate, but he's still 1,200 cheaper than Nick Chubb. And then, you know, McCaffrey's still out there, but he's not going to play. So Montgomery's a chalk play, but he's still saving you some money. And Jonathan Taylor's next at Pittsburgh. That's not a great matchup. People are going to play Montgomery this week, but it's still hard not to. What I will say going with Montgomery, and I love seeing this, because a couple weeks ago we talked about kind of like, you know, over our whole fantasy career, because, you know, fantasy is not a new thing anymore. Some of us have been doing this for 20 years plus, as we have, Jeff. You know, who are our greatest hits fantasy career-wise throughout the 20 years of doing it? One of my top plays is Le'Veon Bell. So I am super psyched that Hilaire is out this week. Le'Veon Bell, who, you know, even if you're not sold on him this week, he had 15 touches, 15 rushes and a catch last week at New Orleans, even while Hilaire was still playing. So they're ramping him up, his usage. He's got the juicy home against Atlanta matchup as the starter, 6,400. So definitely playing Le'Veon Bell. Even if he doesn't get the yardage, if you're in a PPR, I expect some catches, and I expect him to get the end zone with a short run at least once in that game. So liking Bell this week at running back on that main slate.
Yeah, and like we said, you're spending a little bit extra on quarterback. You can find some value on the Sunday slate at the running back position. And we talked about him already. I'm gonna stick, because Akers is hurt, I'm sticking with my boy Malcolm Brown. He's at 5,500 at Seattle. I just think that there's a couple guys I ride with all year. It's going to be Brown and Tua this year. That guy is he's my boy there. And you got Benny Snell coming off a pretty good game. He's 5,400 home versus Indy. Maybe not necessarily the best matchup, but if you're looking for some value and you really, really need to go that low, that's a guy to look at.
I like Snell. He was really good last week. And another thing to keep your eye on, just, you know, injuries that are still up in the air. Antonio Gibson in Washington's questionable. McKissick, very good last week. 9 catches, 56 yards and a touchdown, as well as 13 rushes against Seattle. And they've actually got another really nice matchup home against Carolina. So if Antonio Gibson's out, JD McKissick at 5,800, may even probably be a better play than Le'Veon, because he's a little cheaper too. But, you know, again, that goes back to just keeping an eye out. When you look at wideouts, again, to me, wideout telling a little bit of a different story lately. If you look at the main slate, there is some juice at the top. Tyreek Hill, 9,400, Ridley, 8,700. So what did I do? Hill's 9,400, Kelsey's 8,800 this week. Yep. So I'm putting Kelsey in the flex. And then what I'm doing for a number one wideout spot is I'm going Robert Woods at 7,300. Even when the Rams suck, Woods doesn't seem to. 6 for 56 and a touchdown last week against the Jets. You know, you're going to take what you know about these teams, and they're two very unpredictable teams, and you're going to say it's going to be a high-scoring game. Goff, fantasy-wise, this is a weird stat of the year. I think we mentioned it a few weeks ago, and it's been even more consistent. For some reason, Goff is phenomenal on the road and horrible at home this year from a fantasy perspective. So that game being at Seattle, I think Goff being good helps both of those teams from a fantasy perspective. It'll just open the game up. So I like Woods there. You know, I also from a cheaper perspective. You've got Kansas City's been giving Hardman a nice look. Mecole Hardman, he had 9 targets last week. He got in the end zone. He had 9 points the week prior. So I'm guessing that they're not going to need to even play their starters for 4 quarters in that game. So I kind of like Hardman as a cheap play at 5,500. And then I will go back to the Curtis Samuel bucket too for Carolina. Guy had 9 targets 2 weeks in a row. They're at Washington. Moore's back. He's going to get Josh Norman. I think that's going to open things up a little bit for Samuel and even your boy too, Robbie Anderson, a little bit, because they won't have that number one corner attention. But, you know, wide out, I think you can get really, you know, Higgins from Cleveland's at 58, Gage is at 58. So, again, if Julio Jones doesn't play, Russell Gage, to me, a shoe-in. He's got 3 weeks in a row, 8, 7, 10 targets. 2 touchdowns in the 3 weeks. He's been in double digits all 3 weeks. That's another cheap one that's based on injury. You know, Michael Gallup's another one I wanted to talk about. He only had 10 points last week, but he now all of a sudden has double digits and touchdowns 2 out of the last 3 weeks, and he's getting some targets there in Dallas. They're home against Philly, 5,600. Another cheap play that could be worth it, but there's stuff to look at, but that's certainly, you know, check back at 12:30 on Sunday before you put that final lineup in, because injuries should be driving some of these decisions with running backs and wideouts.
No doubt. And, you know, if we want to touch real quick on a few games on Saturday, maybe just kind of look at just one of the guys that we're looking at on each.
Yeah, position. Absolutely.
For me, starting at quarterback, you mentioned him. I'm rolling with Tua as I usually do. He's at 7,200. I think that's a good play regardless, you know, even though it's got a little value attached to it, you know.
It is. I was going back and forth. I was doing a Saturday lineup earlier this morning, yep. And it was, yep, hard to ignore Kyler just because he put 34 up last week against Philly. And, you know, you know, it's funny because Lamar and I guess Josh Allen's in this Kyler thing. Like, Josh Allen and Kyler, they're rushing. You know, Kyler had 8 for 29 and a touchdown last week, 13 for 47 the week prior to that. Josh Allen is doing the same thing in Buffalo, but these guys are throwing for a lot of yards too. I mean, Kyler Murray, 406 yards last week, 244 the week prior, had some other huge games. Like the combo of like these Josh Allens and these Kyler Murrays of the rushing and the passing, it's really hard to pass up. San Francisco gave up 40 plus to Dallas last week, I believe, it definitely in the 30s, if not the 40s. So they seem ripe for Arizona to kind of march the field all over. But I did look at Tua. You know, the Vegas defense blows. We all know that. Tua put up 19 on the Patriots, which, you know, Patriots are a quality defense, but Tua 28 on the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. And the reason why I look at that Chief game more than the Patriot game is, you know, that's, you know, that Chief game, Chiefs obviously scored some points and it was a little more wide open than that Patriot game. I would expect to beat this Vegas Miami game to be wide open just based on the way Vegas plays. So I think Tua is proving that he can put the ball in the air. He needs his weapons. Parker's questionable. Gesicki's questionable. So he needs those guys back. But, you know, as long as Tua's got a full team out there, he's probably not a bad play this week because Vegas ain't stopping much lately.
Yeah. And then real quick, if we're just grabbing one guy from the other couple positions, I'm looking at both, for Tampa Bay, I'm looking at Leonard Fournette at 7,000 at Detroit at running back. And then I'm looking at a value play. You know, obviously we're going to look at Hopkins, but from a value perspective, I do like Antonio Brown. He's 6,600 at Detroit, so I kind of like those.
Yeah, you know, I've been staying away from those Tampa wideouts, but I've been peeking in and kind of what they've been doing, and I thought it was interesting last week because Antonio Brown, and it slowly happened each week, he seems to be Brady's favorite target now there. He's getting exactly a lot of targets. He's getting a lot of the underneath. Fournette's a little disappointing this week for him to be at 7,000. It's a great, you know, substitute play. Is just not a cheap play. So is it worth it? He went for 14.49 last week, 5 targets, 3 catches, 16 yards. What saved his fantasy day is he had 2 scores. Now it's another good matchup against Detroit. He's the only short yardage back they have. So it's probably worth the play. I just don't love the price. If you're looking for a, you know, more of a cheap running back play, that's going to get the touches at least. Mostert is going to be out for San Francisco. So Jeff Wilson looks like he's the number one guy there. He had 16 for 60 and a touchdown last week at Dallas. 4 targets, no catches, which is a little alarming. But for 6K, sounds like he's going to get 15 to 20 touches there in Arizona for the 49ers. But it's weird, too, because then even like DeAndre Swift is another one that we've talked about this year, kept our eye on. We like him. He went for 2 touchdowns, 20 points last week, and he's up to 7,200. So there's not a lot of give on this Saturday slate. They've kind of priced us out of any real cheap plays, which means it's going to be hard to fit in a lot of the big guys. And you're going to have to get it right. From a wide receiver perspective, you mentioned Hopkins. I do like him this week. I don't love, you know, the second wide out on that Saturday slate is Ayuk for San Francisco, but he's going to fall into the Patrick Peterson, the Bermuda Triangle of receiving this week with Debo Samuel out. So I was kind of refraining from him. And then you made a great point on Antonio Brown, especially PPR. DraftKings, remember, too, the full point versus the FanDuel right. half point PPR. Love Brown for that. And another one, talked about him a couple weeks ago, Nelson Aguilar, 5,800. You know, you got to give salary-wise somewhere. Aguilar targets last 3 games, 8, 9, and 11. Last week, only 44 for 49, but, you know, they did lose their quarterback in the middle of the game. Week before, he was 5 for 100 in a TD. So I kind of like Aguilar at 5,800. And it's also been hard to ignore Marvin Jones. The guy's listen to this. Jones has got 44 targets in the last 4 games as the number one with Galladay out. So, you know, in a game where you feel like there's going to be some points. I want to draw one more thing to the Saturday slate, and then I'll end. We can stop there. Dan Arnold at tight end for Arizona. He has got 3 touchdowns the last 3 weeks. He's at 5,000. He looks to be a game time or a questionable game time decision as of right now, but easy way to save some money and potentially, you know, get yourself a touchdown at tight end is Dan Arnold. Sounds like a high school geometry teacher, Nate.
Yeah, exactly. We'll wrap it up with Brady's Beauty and take it or leave it real quick on Brady's Beauty. He's got David Johnson versus Cincinnati, 6,700. I don't mind that pick this week. And for my take it or leave it, I'm rolling with my boy Malcolm Brown. Is anybody surprised about that? 5,500 at Seattle. That's who I'm going with.
Take it or leave it. And Henderson's going to, you know, if you really play that out real quick, Henderson's going to get probably more touches. However, there's a better chance Brown gets in the end zone. So I'm with you there. I talked about mine earlier. You know, I always try to get through the whole episode without mentioning my take it or leave it guy till the end, but I can never do it. Couldn't do it again today. I failed at it. It's Le'Veon Bell, one of my favorite fantasy football players of all time, has the start against one of the worst defenses in the league. You know, you're at week 16, a team like the Chiefs probably doesn't even want to have to play their starters 4 quarters this week if they don't need to. The NFL has been very unpredictable, so I say that now, and you're probably looking at a close game some way, but I still like Le'Veon to get in the end zone, get some red zone carries, get some catches, and, you know, they made that trade a couple months back, and we were all looking to see what would happen, and now he's going to get his chance, and I think he's going to take advantage of it. So leave Le'Veon Bell, I say take.
Sounds good. We will leave it there. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and – until next time, ticket holders, we've got you covered.